Hello, welcome back. My name is Saptak Sen, and today we are going to talk about data mining and predictive analytics with Excel, SQL Server Analysis Services, and then Mahout. And with me, I have Bill Ramos.
Thank you, Saptak. I'm Bill Ramos with Advaya, and I'm going to be showing you the data mining add-in within Excel and show you how to install Mahout and give it a whirl with a sample app that we've got for you.
Awesome. So let's get started. So as I said, we are going to cover the brief overview of what is predictive analytics and what is data mining, what you can expect from it, what's the process. And then we are going to look at the tools. And then finally, we are going to do a bunch of demos around all these three different types of data mining tools. So let's think about where we use data mining. In today's day and age, we use data mining everywhere. If you have shopped on Amazon, you have been the customer of a predictive analytics service, because what Amazon does when it recommends based on what product you are watching, what are the other products that you might be interested in, it's essentially what is called a collaborative filtering algorithm that they're applying on your past behavior and your current product that you're looking at, and showing the recommendation around what you might be interested in. The same thing around when Facebook says, hey, these are the other people who could be your friends, or even when they do face detection in pictures. So there are multiple different areas where you want to almost predict the future. One great example of that was United States Geological Survey out in California. They gave out these little modules which are basically seismic detectors. And people kind of strapped it to a pole or something, stable in their garages or other places, so that if there are slight seismic activities all around the state, they'll get all this data, and hopefully they'll be able to predict when there is a earthquake coming. So there are two aspects of it. First of all, there is a learning and a modeling aspect, where you need to establish a model which is actually able to predict. And you can test a model that you come up with the historical data. Often this is called backtesting. Once you develop, a data scientist develops a model, they test it with historical data. But once you have done that, you also want to see if it can predict the future. So oftentimes, of course, we don't have data for the future. So what we do is, in the world of data science, from all the historical data we had, let's say we had 10 years of historical data, for the sake of argument, we use the first 8 years of data for developing the model, backtesting and developing the model, optimizing the model. Then the last 2 years of data, we can see if it can, that model can predict those 2 years of data to forward test that model. So that's when we know our model is solid. They use it in weather forecasting, in legal discovery. For example, in medical insurance companies are these days, based on a particular patient's history, they know that what kind of drugs they're likely to take versus not. So they are often detecting if there are any frauds or misuses happening, and thereby can decline insurance coverage and so on. Credit risk modeling and credit score modeling for so on. So those are all samples of predictive analytics. Now, SQL Server Analysis Services provides a very rich set of tools to do predictive analytics modeling. For example, it provides a bunch of algorithms which across all these categories, which lets you classify, estimate, do clustering, do forecasting, and do association. Now, we have a similar capability in Excel, and Excel provides a more self-service way to create these models, but the algorithms still sit on SQL Server Analysis Services. So you need to have an instance of SQL Server Analysis Services running, and it connects to it for you to be able to do this kind of modeling in Excel. And we are going to see a demo of it pretty soon. Now, here are some of the algorithms available through the data mining add-in for Excel. By the way, it's a separate add-in download that you'll have to go download freely from the web, from the Microsoft.com/downloads. Which lets you do any of these different algorithms like naive Bayes, clustering, logical regression, time series, and so on. Now, with that, let's look at the demo of the tool itself.
All right. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to show you where you get your data mining add-in, and then I've already installed it, so we don't have to go through that process, and I'll give you some of the critical steps on getting the analysis services up and running before we actually can use the data mining add-in. So as part of the data mining add-in, you can find it on the Download Center. You just search for SQL Server 2012 SP1 data mining add-in for Microsoft Office, and that will go ahead and give you the download location for it. And you'll choose the specific version, either X32 or X64, based on the version of Office that you have installed. Once you have that add-in installed, we'll go over to Excel, you'll see a data mining add-in appear up here where you can start doing work. In addition, there's additional tools. When you're selected in a table, you'll see Analyze and another selection of data mining tools. Before we get kicked off, one of the things that you have to do as part of data mining is you want to factor out some of the data that may skew the results. And so this is part of cleaning data in your data preparation area up at the top here. And what I'm going to do is, we see here we have several populations that are under 300 or so. And what I want to do is filter those out because I know those will represent problems. Now, I could filter this data here, but you can actually use the data the clean data option to actually remove your outliers. So for example, I can go here, fire up the wizard, I hit next, we identify the table. Now, one thing I should point out is that the data mining add-in only works with Excel sheet data. It does not work with Power Pivot data. And so the Excel spreadsheet that I've built here is actually a combination of the two Power Pivot tables that we had related to city crime and our labor data. I actually merged those two data items together and then copied it into a new sheet, and so that's how I got there. You could also use anything that you queried or that you created based on Power Query, because Power Query will also create a sheet of data. So once you've defined your table, you can then go ahead and indicate the column that you want to filter out. And so you can do the drop-down list here and select population. And then once you've got your column selected, you go ahead and use the outlier function. So for example, I can go in here and say, hey, I want to remove any items that are less than 300. Now, I can also adjust the maximum range as well. So for example, if I wanted to eliminate some of the more populated counties, I could do that as well by changing the maximum value, but I'll just go ahead and hit next at this point. You have several different options that you can choose from to clean out the data. You could actually change those values to the limit value, or change it to the average of those values, set them to null, or in my case, I'm going to say delete empty rows containing outliers. And you have another option that says, okay, copy that sheet into a new worksheet, and in this case, I'm going to change the data in place and then finish it up. So now that we've done that operation, when we go look at our drop-down list here, we'll see the highest value item here is 355, so we've removed our outliers. So now we feel pretty comfortable with the data. Now, of course, as a data scientist, you're going to do a lot more analysis to figure out what your true outliers are along your various dimensions here, but it's just a nice tool to allow you within Excel and the Data Mining Wizard to clean them up. Okay, so the next thing I want to do is I actually want to look for which of these factors would most impact the total criminal activity. So, you know, is it population? Is it unemployment? Is it employment? Is it the size of the labor force? You know, what could it be? And so we can use the Analyze Key Influencers option here. But before we do that, there's a couple things you need to do. First off, you need to set up your connection to your server. And I'm going to go ahead and click on this connection option here. And what you do here is you go ahead and you'll say new, you'll identify your server here and your catalog name. Now I've already set that up on my server where I have an analysis services catalog called DM. And you'll test the connection. And at this point you think everything's okay, but there's one more thing you have to do to make sure that the add-in will work. And I'm going into Management Studio here, and I've already set up a connection to my analysis server instance. Here you can see I have my catalog. But what you need to do is go ahead at the top level and select Properties. And from here in the General tab, there is an option that is off by default, which is this Allow Session Mining Models. Let me go ahead and zoom that in here. And this option is required so that the add-in can go ahead and create the mining models within Analysis Services to make it work. Again, you just change the option from false to true, save your changes, and then you're ready to run the add-in. So let's go back to Excel now, and at this point, let's go ahead and run the Key Influencers Wizard. First thing that you need to do is indicate the column that you want to analyze against. In our case, it's going to be the total number of criminal activities. You can then choose the dimensions of the data that you want to use to determine what the impact might be. We don't need state or county because those won't have any influence because they're not numeric values. And we don't want to include the sum of the total number of criminal activities because that will be a one-to-one relationship. From here, we'll go ahead and click OK and then run the wizard. And so this is going ahead and applying that Bayes analysis, was that what we had on the slide, to determine kind of what impacts the data here. And so what this does is it allows you to start playing around with different parameters to see how these values would influence the total crime activity. So for example, see, you're looking at the high bars here. So let's not look at missing population, but you'll see population sticks out when population is less than this value here. You'll see that that has the biggest impact on crime. When you get into kind of a medium-sized county, you'll see there's a couple of other influencers. Population is by all means important here, but in these lower categories, or less populated counties, you'll see that the labor force, unemployment, and employed data has kind of a tendency to impact the factors as well. But in all cases, you can see the more population you have, the more crime you have. That's a stunning insight, don't you think there, SoftDeck? Yeah. Now, one of the things that you can do is actually change the compare values and the range so that you can focus in on your activity I won't bother doing that because what I want to do is jump to another feature that will allow you to do categorization of this data. And what categorization will allow you to do is actually go in and determine if there's combinations of these various factors here that can be grouped together to form a category. And then use that for kind of clumping data together and doing future analysis on. The way you kick that off is you go to Analyze, and you use the Detect Categories option here. Very similar to the prior wizard, you'll go ahead and deselect the columns that you don't want to look at. And so we're going to see, I'm going to get rid of unemployment rate. So we'll look at labor force, we'll look at unemployment, total population, and our criminal activities. You can indicate how many you want. Auto detect is the default option. And so it'll try to keep it to a limited number of categories, but if you wanted to limit them, again, you can change this here. And what I'm going to do is say append the category column to the original Excel table. So what that will do is off here in column I, it will go ahead and add that category when we're done. So I'll go ahead and run. And this is going through Analysis Services using the categorization technique to find out what the categories are. And you'll see here, algorithm detected 5 categories based on the data that I had. To see how those categories ranked out, by default they show you the first category, and so you can see how here we have a low labor force, low population, low unemployment, and low crime. So that would make sense. The less people you have, the less crime, except in Mackinac County where we saw a high percentage, but that's a different story. Okay, so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to remove the filter here and just show you how the other categories stacked up. And so very similar to the influencers, you can kind of see how the various values impacted the creation of that category. So there's a second category here with high unemployment and so on. And what you can do is actually name these items. Now I've got a little cheat sheet here to remind me what to look at here. And so category one we indicated was essentially low crime. And so what you can do here in this region here is you can go ahead and call these things like low crime, low population. And so what I'm doing is adding a word phrase that will go with this different category. And so here we're looking at high unemployment. And let's see, where's the crime value? It's kind of high crime, so high unemployment. UNEMP. And actually, what we're looking at the population center, this is kind of like a medium pop. That's category three. Kind of looking at the data here, and we've got a high labor force and low population, which is probably and very low crime. So I'll call this medium pop, low crime, or low crime, mid pop. And then finally, in the fourth category, well, not quite fourth category, we've got low population and very low crime. Low crime and low pop. Actually, I want to do that for this other one here. So I'm going to take this value, cut, and paste it in here. What's that? Low pop and very low crime. And I'm just going to call this other, because let's see, it only had one attribute on it, which is a total crime and total pop. So now that we have these categories defined and the range of categories, we can now go back, because I've changed the data here, these cells are linked, so in my data mining area over here, you'll see the categories displayed for my particular item. So just a quick test, what I'm going to do is go ahead and remember we did crime analysis on Wisconsin, or actually Michigan. So let me go ahead and choose Michigan here. And so this is displaying the counties. We can see here Mackinac County, again, low crime, low population overall. We have Oakland County, which is a very high unemployment, median population. We can kind of see how that matches our intuition. Likewise with Wayne County, high unemployment with median population gives you kind of a high crime value. So that's it for the data mining wizard. So we can turn it back to Sapdak to talk about Mahout.
So we just saw how simple the SQL Server Analysis Services and Excel Data Mining add-in tools are, which lets you do data mining right from within Excel. But let's say you have a lot of data and you want to apply predictive analytics algorithms on top of that. Again, going back to the example of, you know, a recommendation engine over for an e-commerce site, for example, Amazon, right? So they have millions of customers visiting their site and going through the shopping. So they generate a lot of data. And so do we in our different internet properties. So in those cases where your data volume is very large and potentially unstructured, that's where Hadoop is a great platform to do not just extraction of entities, transformation, like we saw in the previous modules, but also predictive analytics on. And that's where Mahout comes in. Now, just to give you a little bit of a background of the name Mahout, I first need to give a little bit of a background of the name Hadoop, right? So Hadoop is named after a soft toy elephant that the founder of Hadoop Project's daughter had. So it's named after a soft toy elephant. So Mahout is actually Indian word which means the guy who drives an elephant, an elephant rider or an elephant driver. So that's why Mahout rides on Hadoop. So that's a little bit of a trivia about the name. Now, Mahout provides this set of libraries which provides all this data mining algorithm and which are parallelizable. let's look at some of this in a little bit more detail. For example, we have some of the algorithms like collaborative filtering, classification, clustering, and so on, and which you can apply on your big data using Mahout. Let's see that in action.
Yeah.
Bill?
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you how to install Mahout on an HDInsight cluster, because it's not there right now, and it's not part of the standard HDInsight installation. So I want to show you kind of how easy it is to install this and get it up and running, and then go ahead and show you an example using a Million Song database to actually process the data and see how different people playing songs would impact or create suggestions for other folks. So if we go down to the console here, to get Mahout, what you want to do is go to mahout.apache.org, and that'll take you to the standard distribution where all the apache.org stuff is. You can see here all the different capabilities that Mahout has in terms of being able to do its analysis. We're going to focus on the collaborative filtering algorithm for our Million Song application. Now, what I'm going to do first off is I'm going to show you how you can download Mahout to your HDInsight cluster. So what you'll do is you'll go ahead and click on that big download button and then kind of run through the, okay, I want the official release. I want to go to my suggested server. And I'm using .7, even though .8 came out in July, I haven't had a chance to actually test with it. And so what you'll want to do is on the .7 release is copy down the Mahout distribution .zip file. What we're going to do then is then copy that over. Now I've already started the I've already downloaded that and I've put it into my download directory here. And what I need to do is get it over to my HD Insight console. So I'm going to go ahead and go over here to my management console for the HD Insight cluster and spin up the remote desktop. So go ahead and let this fire up. And again, just connect with my admin password. Okay, now the reason that I want to go over here is that I need to copy and paste the file over because the browser in the HD Insight cluster is very restricted, and it would take a lot of effort to get through and remove all the restrictions, but then you don't want to leave your head node open. And so what I need to do is go back here and go back to my directory with the downloads, and I'm going to right-click, copy, and then go back into my environment here. And then I'm going to paste that into the location where the HD Insight apps are stored. And that's in this DIST folder. And so these are all the Hadoop, HCatalog, Hive, Uzi, Pig, and so on, Scoop, that are part of the distribution. I'm going to go ahead now and right-click and paste this in here. So this will go ahead and start the copy operation of the zip file to my HD Insight cluster. Now I'll talk about the analysis that we're going to do. So let me go back and I'll leave that alone. And what we're going to look at is a set of data, or actually a subset of data, that represents the million song data set that some folks in the University of Columbia set up, where what they did is they said that people who like to listen to the same song or similar kinds of songs are most likely going to want to listen to maybe what someone else has listened to. Very similar to what Amazon does when you buy something and it suggests what other people may have bought. And so it's using a similar kind of collaborative filtering mechanism to do that. And what we're going to do is take a look at the data here, which consists of a user reference, a song reference, and the number of times that they played that through the service that was recording this information. Now the challenge with Mahout is that the data file here is tab delimited, but Mahout requires first comma separated values, and these values for song or for user and song need to be integer values. So to a gentleman's name, whose name is Wei Ming, he put together a very nice sample that showed you how you can convert those values over to integer values, and in addition, how to run Mahout against that application. So we're going to show you, kind of walk you through what was part of that application. So if I scroll down here, again, you can search on Windows Azure, Simple Recommendation Engine using Apache Mahout to find this article. It goes through the whole setup environment, talks again about the problem. And then Wei Ming created a Visual Studio app that would actually take those values and convert them to integers and have them mapped correctly. And so that's what this first part does. The other thing that he did that's very nice is he said, okay, he ran through the instructions that I'm doing right now on how to install Mahout, download the version, copy the file over, what we've already done, connecting to the head node. But more importantly, what he's done is actually created a subset of this data on his GitHub repository here called minput.txt and input users to actually make the job run a lot faster, and you're not actually going through all million, though with his application, you can process all million songs if you wanted to. So let me go back here. And so the other thing is there are some other apps that he has, and he's included everything in a zip file that you can copy over and then start working with. So let's take a look at what those files are. So I'm going to go back over to my data drive here. So the user.txt file represents the list of users you want to analyze. And this allows you to provide a filter on the data so that you can just look at a subset of those users rather than looking at all of them. The minput file represents the actual music play history. And so the first value is your user, second value is your song, and the third value here is your play count. And so this was a subset of the data that Wenming had created from the data set that has the song information in here. So we'll be using these two data files to do our processing. Let's go ahead now and flip back to our desktop and see where we're at. Okay, so our zip process is done now. And so what I'm going to do is go ahead and extract these files out. And I'm just going to call it Mahout for now. And go ahead and extract. Now, in essence, once we get this set up in the right directory structure, this is all there is to installing because of the way that just laying down the jar files and other files into a directory where Java Home can understand where to find stuff, there's no complex install process that's required. So under the Mahout directory, we now have this Mahout distribution directory, and that's actually is the one that has all the files in it. So we have our jar files that will do our processing there. And what I want to do is now locate this into our apps dist directory because I want to name it to make sure that my copy-paste example will work correctly. So I'm going to take this and drag it into dist. And so now we have our dist folder here. I'm going to get rid of this Mahout directory because we don't need that anymore. And get rid of our zip file because we don't need that anymore. And then I'm going to rename this just to get rid of the word distribution out of here. Okay, so we have Mahout.0.7 in there. So that's, and just make sure, yep, we've got the bin files, the jar files are where they need to be. Next, I'm going to go ahead and I need to move the two files that we have. Remember, in our data directory, these two files, I've got to move them into our cluster. And the way that I'm going to do that is through the Interactive Console. So I'll go ahead and launch up our Interactive Console. And this is what we did in our very first session on big data. And I'm going to go ahead and say make dir slash user slash writer slash input. And this will be the directory where we put the files. Next, I'm going to go ahead and use the fs.put command to go ahead and browse to my directory on my D drive here and bring in my users.txt file. And I'll put that again in user writer input. And go ahead and do our upload. And then again, run the fsput for the second file. So I'll go to our data drive and our minput file. And then again, specify user writer input and upload. Okay, so we have our two files in place. And now what I'm going to do is go back and run our Mahout job. So here I have a little script with the command that I'm going to run, and I'll just show it to you here in the editor here. So what we're going to do is we're going to run the Hadoop main command and tell it that we're going to run a jar MapReduce job. We're then going to point it to our Mahout distribution directory and call the Mahout core 07 job.jar. So there's several different jar files that are available in there. Inside of that, we reference the class name for the recommender job and indicate that we're using the singularity co-occurrence algorithm to do the processing. We specify our input directory. You see it equals user writer input, our input text. We specify our output directory, which Hadoop, as part of the MapReduce job, will go ahead and create that output directory. And then we specify our users file that we're going to use to process. Again, user writer users.txt. So I'm going to go ahead and copy that to the clipboard and head over here to our console and bring up our Hadoop command line. So very similar to Scoop, because this isn't baked into the interactive console or there's no WebH catalog or any library like that that would allow us to access the data, we do have to connect to the head node to run this job. So I'm going to go ahead and paste in the command. So again, it's we specify our input, output directories, our user directory, and I'm going to go ahead and hit enter to start the MapReduce process. So this is going ahead, and again, it's using the MapReduce framework to go ahead and execute the job. We now see that our job is running, and what's going to happen now is that the MapReduce job is splitting apart that user text file and the minput file, and then starting to do the process with this co-occurrence. Now, there's actually about 9 or 10 cycles that go through as part of the MapReduce process, and it takes about 10 minutes total. So let's go ahead and let this run.
Okay, we're breaking.
So you're recording the screen as it's going along?
Do you want me to record the whole time?
Not really.
Well, we need the ending of whatever.
You need the ending.
Okay, then I'm just going to have to let it record again.
Okay. 4? No, I don't know yet. You want to unmute me now and I'll just be quiet until we're ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so I can start talking anytime?
Anytime.
Okay, the Mahout job is now done. So it went through this process. There was this input pass that it went ahead and processed as part of the computations, and the end result now is a part file. So what I'm going to do at this point is I'm going to bring up my little cheat sheet that I have here, and I'm just going to check to see that, do our directory here and see what the result is. So copy this out and paste in the command here. So we're just telling it to do an ls operation on the output directory. And it looks like that had some issues. So I'm going to fall back to plan B here and now go, let's just close down this and we'll try it here. So we'll go pound tail user. We'll do the ls command, or actually we'll do the ls command. ls and then user slash writer slash output. And we see here our two files that were created, our success directory indicating that we're all done, and our part file. And so what I need to do is now download this. We can take a look at this part file. So I'll use the tail command here and go pound tail, and then user writer output part dash r dash 12345. And you'll see here what this is doing is it's showing the list of users, the tail end of the list of the users, starting from 82 here on to 91, indicating that the song, so the song reference, and then a factor of how likely it is that that person would like that song. And so this is broken up into this list of values that is the user, a tab, and then an open bracket followed by a closed bracket, and then shows the list of songs that they would most likely be interested in based on other people playing songs similar to what they had done. And so that's what the output looks like for that, and you can then write an application to parse this out, load it up into Excel, do whatever you want with it. So with that, that's how Mahout works with the user pair, or the combination of a value of a user, an object like a song, and then the number of times that they did that, and you can do this analysis as we showed right here. Thanks.
So we just saw how easy it is to use Mahout with HD Insight service. Of course, you need to understand which algorithms are appropriate for your particular purpose, but you know, all the different community tools work here, so you should be able to use the right algorithm of your choice. With that, okay. Here are some links if you on where to get the data mining add-in and where to get more information on data mining for SQL Server Analysis services, and also guide on how you can use Mahout with Windows Azure on HD Insight service.
Yeah, because the Mahout example back on that link there actually has everything that you need to know, where to get the Mahout distribution, and how to run the sample app that I just did. So that's it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you. See you in the next module.